Yeah, Rabbi says there was a nice story that took place a few years ago in holiday related, and I want to share that with you. I think it's a nice story. It's a true story that happened. I read it on from Rabbi Aya Dunner. He writes this very nice stories. I saw this story. I thought, wow, that's an interesting one. So what happened was, it was in Bnei Brak, a very large family in Bnei Brak, who didn't have any financial resource to actually go on holidays. They just couldn't afford it. You know, holiday is expensive. Wherever you may be going, holidays is very expensive. And they just couldn't afford it, so for years they hadn't gone. And that was the reality, and the kids didn't particularly expect it, but, you know, it was a shame they couldn't go on holiday. Their father was from the we all feel the same, but he actually physically did it. The father goes regularly to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He's one of those close Talmidim of Chaim Kanievsky, going regularly to ask shailos, to discuss things, advice, guidance, etc. And once, a few weeks before the summer holidays, before Tisha B'Av, the Rebbetzin accompanies, sees him going out, the Rebbetzin Kanievsky, going when she was still alive, or she was lived a few years ago, and he said, no, have a short conversation. In that conversation, he tells Rebbetzin Kanievsky, says, no, you're going away on holidays? And he said, no, we can't afford going on holidays, we can't go. He said, what a shame, you know, you've got so many children, teenage children, they need to get out a bit, younger children, you know, you can take to the park, but you know, you've got they need to get out, you've been learning, working so hard over the last time, you have to give an opportunity. He said, well, I can't afford it, it's the reality, I just can't afford it, can't afford holidays. So he said, you know what, leave it to me. That's what she said, and indeed, Herbert Zganevsky made some phone calls and she collected money for that particular family to go on holidays. Now, I'm not going to go into that particular discussion, is it right or wrong to collect funds to go on holidays, but that's what Rebbetzin Kanievsky did. She felt, obviously, for that particular family, there was a need and a real tzorech. All the children are nearly in shidduchim already, and they need that break. Hard learning masmidim, and the girls also, they just need that break. So she collected the funds and took a few phone calls, a few weeks to do it. Eventually, she got enough money, not so expensive, because all she really arranged was for rental of a flat in Tzfas, which is, you know, not that far, but that's a big holiday for many Bnei Torah to go a week to Tzfas. That's a very big deal. And it is nice. Tzfas is very, very nice. And it's a bit more mountainous, and it's a bit more relaxed, it's a bit more calm, and it's got a certain atmosphere to it as well. So she arranged for funding of a flat for so many bedrooms, small flat, but still so many bedrooms, for that family to go from Bnei Brak to Tzfas for a week. She handed over the money, and he was so grateful and unexpected. Thank you so much. And here was the money. He made a few phone calls, and yes, he was able to arrange for hiring a flat for the holidays, 1 week in Tzfas, and he makes the phone calls, and everything arranged, and everything, and lo and behold, the time is right. Take the bus. Exciting, the excitement is huge, because the family literally hasn't been away from their flat for years, mama's years, and the oldest one on Shiduchim already, and you know, it's years and years they haven't been on holidays, and the excitement is enormous. They go to Tzfas by bus, and eventually they go to the flat, and as they open the door, they say, who are you? He said, well, we've spoken on the phone last week. Massive misunderstanding. Actually, I've hired the flat out of somebody else already, and I can't give it to you. I've hired that. The flat is not available. It's not happening. It's just simply not happening. Devastation. Devastation is nothing else. You can't, it's fast with 12, 14 kids, start, you know, finding a place. It's just not going to happen. There's no choice but to make a U-turn, go back to Nebuchadnezzar. The disappointment, we can all imagine the disappointment. Huge, real disappointment. The kids are really, really in tears. Younger ones are crying. The older ones are really disappointed. But there's nothing to do after the Menchen to go back home, and that's it. That's the end of it. So she said, you know, I'm kind enough. I'm not going to take the money. But, of course, the flat is not available. That's it. Shoin, they go back home, and that's the end of the story. 2 days later, the family gets a phone call, and there's a phone call, and he says, you know, your oldest son, his name Chaim, yeah, Chaim, 24 years old, he's a Choshvin, do you know that Shidduch from Shidduch suggestion, who is the Shidduch? Shidduch is the very, 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 very senior Talmud Chacham, literally the Rav of Tzfas, real, real Chosho Talmud Chacham, beautiful family, very, very nice. So, is a Shidduch suggested, and Shidduch very interested, you know, very, very nice. Could go out, and of course, Shidduch happens, Malo to Malo to Olam. The background was that this Bacha, who was the oldest son, who had been struggling in Shidduchim, primarily because struggling in Shidduchim, just for no particular reason, but, you know, this hasn't happened. And he went after that disappointing episode. He went to daven Mincha in Shul, and he was devastated, and he davened, and he cried tears when he davened Mincha, and he was really upset, but he davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu to be able to overcome this challenge and go back home and have this unexciting experience in going back home without any real break and holiday. Came back and he cried and he davened Mincha Se'elcha, the Rav of the Shul. Notice, oh, who is this Bach? He's davening so elich. He's davening so nicely. Perhaps, like, who is it? And perhaps, like, for my daughter, you know, I need somebody who davens very nice. He's able to proper connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the kind of son, you know, that I want for my, you know, for my daughter, chosen for my daughter. And the rest is history. So the message of the story is that sometimes things look like a big patch and a big disappointment on the spot, but really in the long run, of course they would have preferred, you know, if you had to choose between, you know, a disappointing holiday and a nice shidduch, that is binyan bayis nemo beisrael. So that's really what of course we should all have nice holidays, but if chalila something doesn't work out, there's a master plan behind it. Right, okay. Rabbi Yisai, we are in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, and we are in Tkiyas Shofar. Tovo be'itoy ma'atoyv, the Pasuk says. It's really great, because we're really getting very close to the Rosh Hashanah Halachas, and we're doing the Tkiyas Shofar. Now, I hope you managed to listen to some or all of the Shiurim. I tried to keep them short, precise, and short. So I hope they were the right kind of style. The last shiur which I uploaded was in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Ches Sif Aleph, so which basically means that we're up to Siman Tov Kuf Pei Ches Sif Beis, which is in the Dish Traditions, page 124. Is that pretty much what we're holding? Is that right? Yeah?
I listened to them all the way back, yeah. And at the last hour of 6 hours of driving, I couldn't take the kids anymore.
I'm better than screaming kids. That's good. Very good. Okay. Very good. It's much better than me the last hour of my journey. I was like half asleep. So good. Okay. Okay. Shama Teshat Kiyas B'Teshat Shoyis B'Yoyim. Interesting. The days over here, what I want to focus on today, Be'ezer Hashem, is actually a Bialocha. An unexpected and very interesting bialocha over here, which is relevant not just to Hilchas Tkiyas Shofar, but actually to many other halachas, such as Hilchas Tzitzis as well. A bit of controversy involved in that. Perhaps nobody agrees to that, but it's very interesting bialocha on the side over here. But I want to see base first. Okay, so the halacha is Shoma Teisha Tkiyas B'Teisha Shoyis B'Yoyim. So we know what was mentioned was that you've got to have, we'll discuss in much greater detail the details of these halachas, that you've got to listen to 9 Tkiyas Shofar, 9 Tkiyas. And what happens if you separate them into different parts of the day? If you scatter them, like you do the tkiyah in the morning, and then you do the tour and then the shvarim later on in the day, and then the final tkiyah at the very end of the day. Is that a problem or not? So the loch that is stated over here is the shema teisha tkiyas b'teisha shoyis b'yoyim yotze. If you break it up, you're yotze. You can do that. Teisha tkiyas b'teisha shoyis b'yoyim yotze, you're yotze. It doesn't literally mean, the Mishnah Berurah says, 9 tkiyas. Okay, we'll discuss in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadin Great Halach. It doesn't literally mean 9 tkiyas, but if you do the required tkiyas in a scattered kind of way, in a fragmented way, furthermore, if you even listen to them by several people, so say the tkiyah at the early morning, you listen by, they're blown by one person. You have then, say, the shorim by another person a few hours later, and the tour again by another person, yet another few hours later, by another person again. Different people, different times, scattered throughout the day. You would be yotze. says the Shulchan Aruch. However, there's disagreeing opinions. Some say, no, if the interruption is too long, longer than it would take to blow that particular sound, if the interruption is longer than it would take to make that sound, you wouldn't be yotze, and of course that is the way we actually paskin. Now, yeah, very good. So these halachos will be discussed in greater detail, because that's short interruption. That is far more relevant, and we'll get to that mitzvah. Now, there is an interesting bialach over here. The bialach comes from a kind of side entrance, and he discusses a side entrance, and he discusses, is there a problem if the tkiyas shofar are blown in a situation which is what halacha calls einu noki, b'makom she'einu noki, in a place which is not clean. Say there is a smell. Say you're in Welsh fields, which may have or Scottish fields, which may have certain odor, and say that's this kind of einu noki, makom she'einu noki. Question is, are you yoytze the tkiyas if they are blown in a place which is in an oki? I am going to be more specific. I'm not referring to the bracha. The bracha certainly has a problem. You cannot recite the bracha, davening, in a place which has a smell is definitely a problem. I'm not addressing the question of reciting of the bracha. I'm addressing the point of the kium of a mitzvah. We know by listening, shmias shofar is a mitzvah. Now that particular mitzvah, if you're fulfilling that mitzvah in a place which is an einanoki, which smells, are you yoytze? Say, you know, in Eretz, it's far more common than here, but in Eretz you could have areas which smells, you know, the plumbing system at times is not great, or you've got this big rubbish, the bins, they smell at times terribly for, you know, it smells, oh yeah, that's right, the bin collection, that's right, yeah, the bin collection, after for a few minutes you can smell it afterwards. Sometimes you can smell it for minutes, for really literally minutes.
Is it the whole problem that there is a smell? I mean, let's say you tissue and cover it.
Yeah, that may not help. That may not help. Because if it's a mokem in the noki, it may not be a problem. Because I'll tell you why it's very relevant. Because there are people that their sinus has a can't smell so well. We're headed in corona, right? A lot of people couldn't smell. Or another example, which is even more chronic and more persistent, now people literally can't. I may have mentioned it, my brother-in-law cannot smell. He doesn't have the, you know, he said he cannot smell. He cannot smell. He doesn't smell.
Someone who's got a medical issue.
A medical issue, yeah. There are people that just can't. So for them, it wouldn't help either. If it's a mokem she'einu noki, that may actually invalidate the actual place. So the question is, would you have a problem to fill the mitzvah in such a place? Now, this is not necessarily a problem with regards to tkiyas shofar, could be relevant for other mitzvahs as well. Let us think, what would be another example of a mitzvah that you fulfill, which may have bad odor? Yeah, Megillah would be anyway a problem, correct. Yeah, good, very good. Sukkah, very good example. What happens if you are in a sukkah, which you are fulfilling a mitzvah, and there's a bad odor, which here again could be quite common because of the plumbing, sanitation, whatever. There could be these shalas like that on a frequent basis. Does that invalidate the kiyuma mitzvah if you're in a place which is einu noki? You're saying if it's direct or indirect, or you're saying how close it is there. Okay, so we're talking about a smell which really would be a problematic kind of smell. You're right, because we are in the halachas of tefillah, we do differentiate what kind of smell it is. But I'm referring now, whatever the definition is of a mokum she'einu noki, of a place which would invalidate, which you wouldn't be able to make a bracha there, dam there. What is clear is that Kriyas Shema can certainly not be done. Tefillah, certainly Kele Brachas, certainly is a problem. Torah, for sure, is also a problem. Any place that has. What about Kiyum Mitzvah, a mitzvah per se? So the Mishnah Berurah says that he says over here, I'll tell you what, I'm reading the words of the Bialocha, on page Samach Gimel of in Bialocha, he says, Yesh loima, pepshitas, de b'sho'o, at the time, shemekai mitzvah befoil, at the time that a person literally fulfills a mitzvah, hu avoido, that is avoido, how are we going to translate avoido? Service. Good. That's the word, yeah. It's a service. Ve'elas is avoid Hashem. And one may not do service to Hashem. Tech bizoyin in a bizoyin way. Bizoyin in a disgraceful, disrespectful way. Tu bichlal bizo mitzvah. It's considered a bizo mitzvah. You don't fulfill a mitzvah in a way that it just smells. V'gdoyle mezuambu. And what's the proof? So at the moment, all he has said is a logical rationale, a svora. V'gdoyle mezuambu. B'Rosh Hashanah Lamed Lamed Gimel. They said, I have a proof. I have evidence from Gemara Lamed Gimel in Rosh Hashanah. Tozer letzach tzach shoyf v'shel Rosh Hashanah p'mer eglayim. He said, I'll bring you a proof from a halacha that we saw earlier in regards to shofar. You may not wash a shofar with mer eglayim. You know, I find it a very difficult proof. You may not wash, you may not clean the shofar with urine, with mer eglayim. People now covered because of the respect of the mitzvah. V'urak hechsha mitzvah, and that's not with regards to physical mitzvah, that's just cleaning of the shofar. You cannot clean the shofar with that, so even more so, the fulfillment of the mitzvah you cannot do with something which had an odor. For kolchkin a mitzvah atzma, even more so the actual mitzvah. That's what the proof is. I don't find the proof so solid. What do you think? I don't know, it's not exactly the same.
Well, why is it bring up? Why is it bring up like the urine? I mean, why would he?
I've never, it could be, does it work? I don't know why a person would do that. But the Gemara says, a person may not clean the shofar with mer eglayim. Yeah, I don't know why he chose that liquid of others. I don't know. But one may not do that because of the COVID. So he said, just like you're not allowed to do it. So you see from here that you cannot do the mitzvah in a disrespectful way. I don't find the proof. So he says, if that's not an actual mitzvah, that's the heksha mitzvah, even more so actual mitzvah you cannot do in a place which is in a disrespectful way. Rabbi Sai, the Reb Shlomo Zalman said, I have evidence that this is not, and I bring you proof that every single one of us regularly does a mitzvah in a disrespectful place. Every single one of us. We do a mitzvah every single day in a disrespectful place. Tzitzis. Have you ever heard of anybody taking off tzitzis before he goes to be excused? Have you ever heard of anybody taking off tzitzis before he goes?
Talis cotton.
People go with talis cotton to a bathroom. It's not a respectful place, and yet you're allowed to wear it. So the Shlomo Zalman says it seems that for some mitzvahs at least it's totally fine. You definitely are mekayem the mitzvah, and the proof is because if you wouldn't be mekayem the mitzvah, you probably would probably over on the lav.
You're just not mechuyev to take off.
But you're probably making. Yeah, but you're probably making. Yeah. Perhaps that's a nice svara. Very nice. You're suggesting there's a distinction between the mitzvahs, which is. There's definitely a chiluk over here between the kind of mitzvahs. You're saying that tzitzis perhaps. Perhaps is different than tkiyas shofar. Perhaps. Have I said remains of the question mark a little bit? It's certainly a ongoing conversation, which happens to be it happens to be that he ended up over here in the middle of Bialoch over here, discussing the concept of can you do a mitzvah in a place which is the Mokam Shein Enoki. Very interesting. I mean, none of us would walk with tefillin into a Beis HaKisei. None of us would. Would walk, it would fill in a place which is a mokum shein enoki. But if you think about it, what's the difference between that and the tzitzis that you
parshas,
yeah.
So we've got a bit like the tefillin is a mitzvah's kayemes, right? Where tzitzis, if you're not wearing a fork on gum,
you don't have to do it. Sure, yeah.
So it could be to do that.
Yeah. The Ma'aseh, the Bialocha leaves it as an issa. The halacha leaves it that it's also to become mitzvah in mokam she'en noki. So that's something to remember from this halacha over here.
The
smell of the
incinerator next to as you walk up the road, where you know that I can't remember the name of the base bottom Israel, but you have one on the left, the new one on the left.
Yeah, Beis Yeshaya.
On the right.
Yeah.
Ah,
really? And then it was, you had to take a deep breath before you were walking fast. I see. All right. Okay, I remember that.
I remember seeing a rise somewhere that related this in the Gemara
Shana. Yeah, what did you see? What is it? Yeah, it could be Adam. Yeah. It's interesting also the way the Bialacha brings it. He brings it from the Gemara, although the Shulchan Aruch mentions this Gemara a few simanim earlier. It doesn't bring it as a Shulchan Aruch, it brings it as a Gemara, which is also interesting. Okay, Abba, I said to summarize what we learned this evening, we learned the halacha that a person, the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you are yotze the mitzvah of tkiyas shayfa whilst, even if it's fragmented in pieces. So if there's various, if it's some tkiyas in the morning, some tkiyas in the, some required tkiyas later on, and then some even later on, you, first opinion says, long hefsek, you're still yotze, even if it's done by different people, different keys by different people at different times. Shulchan Aruch first says you're yotze. Second opinion says you're not yotze. Interruption may not be so long. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens lemaisa. The Bialacha goes into a different topic and he discusses, are you actually mekayim the mitzvah in the mokum she'en enoki? Are you able to mekayim mitzvah tkiyas shofar in a mokum which is not clean? And the Bialacha wants to say, you know, perhaps you see from the, from learning Torah, from brachas, that you see that you can't fulfill the mitzvah. He brings a raya then from the shofar, which cannot be cleaned by mei reglaim. And he says also it's the svara tells us you cannot serve a kadosh baruch hu in a disrespectful way. And therefore he says that lemaisa you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar mokum she'en enoki. We mentioned Shlomo Zalman brings from tzitzis that there's what to be discussed of here, and further investigation is probably required in this interesting discussion. Rabbi, I wish you a very good Shabbos.